Quartet and his orchestra with L'amour c'est bleu, love is blue, of course, keeping the France show theme going. See what we did there? Yeah, nicely put together.
Nice.
Okay, we have Joy Knight, we have Natalie Smith, and every so often with respect to the midweek drive, we find Joy, and I think Natalie, you can attest to this as well, there are stars who will burst upon us, and there's a good recommendation, and we suddenly realise, how could we ever have gone through the series without featuring them on a regular basis?
Yeah, quite.
One such individual is indeed the former editor of International Who's Who, who we've already booked to start talking about the upcoming edition of International Who's Who, which is obviously in subsequent weeks. Of course, we're referring to whom, Joy?
Richard Fitzwilliams!
There is only one Richard Fitzwilliams. Precisely. Steady, Joy.
Sorry. Too exciting.
I know we're excited, and I know also that you're just a teeny bit miffed that Richard's tip for the date of the royal wedding...
Yes.
Hopelessly inaccurate.
Yes, Richard, I've got a serious bone to pick with you, because following the show last week, I went, hopped it straight down to the local bookies.
Exactly.
50 quid I put on. And look. No, not really.
Anyway, so yeah, this whole thing, I mean, as we say, is it going to be too cold for street parties?
The answer is that the weather will probably be pretty well perfect. It is true, I thought it would be July. I thought there was a possibility that they would have something in May. But April, though ideal, it did seem to me that there might be constitutional objections from the Lib Dems with that referendum on the alternative vote and the local elections for next week. But happily...
Nobody takes any notice of the Liberal Democrats, though, do they? Let's face it.
You might say that, Joy, as somebody who once stood for a council post under that particular line. The rest of us couldn't possibly comment.
Well, my fear, you see, was that William and Kate, or Catherine, as we should be calling her, I suspect, wanted at the end of April, but I thought they might have to compromise a little further into May. But, of course, what I didn't do and what I probably should have done is settle down with my diary and look at all those lovely bank holidays. What could be better to induce a feel-good factor which could have the 1947 and 1981 weddings in grim post-war austerity in the one hand and, of course, in the very difficult financial climate in the early 1980s with riots, too. What could be better with those precedents to induce this wonderful uplift. And that's what we're going to have, and a four-day holiday following on the earlier one to really enjoy it. There's no doubt I think the nation will be celebrating, but what is so important to choose the Abbey? I mean, it's perfectly true they hadn't got any choice, I suspect, because even if they would personally have preferred, and this is arguable, St. George's Chapel, Windsor, it had to be in London. This is a cyber event. You're going to have billions seeing at least part of it or clips from it. And it will be unbelievable spectacle that you get in St. Paul's and Westminster Abbey. You couldn't have the former because they'd intercut it with footage of the Prince and Princess of Wales's wedding, or could. So the latter is rather wonderful because apparently dating from a church built in the 6th century by the Saxon king Siebert, of whom I was unaware. Edward the Confessor, I did know, built it. Apparently it was finished a week before he died. He paid more attention to churches than to defences, as I remember, remembering also that all the kings of England have been crowned there, except for two who were not crowned. One of the princes in the Tower murdered there. I better not say by who, or you'll have Richard III.
Well, I'm sorry, this is the whole point, Richard. I mean, we had a long debate at the last Who Do You Think You Are live show with the Richard III Society, and I'd rather you didn't trigger that on off again, so yeah, please.
I will simply say that he disappeared, presumably murdered, as Edward V.
I would have said alien abduction myself, but that's a different line.
Well, you might say so. I might.
Exactly.
I guess you'll be commenting. And then, of course, Edward VIII, of whom we see a very interesting portrait when this film, and maybe we could have a chat in January when it's released, The King's Speech, gives you an indication of what we could have had as king. Neither were crowned, but all the other coronations, 38 have occurred in the Abbey. 17 kings and queens lie there. Until George II, all but Charles I and Henry VIII were buried in the Abbey. Subsequently, they've been buried at St. George's, Windsor. But this is where William will one day be crowned, well, Kate, of course, will one day will be our queen, and be the sixth Queen Catherine, which is rather interesting.
She could literally be Kate the Great. Just a thought. My other sort of notion, of course, in the notion of the people's wedding, which we were talking about, was perhaps they could have almost gone for the O2 Stadium or Wembley Arena. Just a thought, but obviously not.
Well, a touch of dignity, don't you think? I mean, my visit, last O2 visit was to see Tutankhamun, and whatever you think of the treasures, and which I'm a great admirer, the setting was a trifle vulgar, could you say, just as a breath?
Well, I thought perhaps in keeping with the post-Diana effect, but maybe not. No, clearly it's a touch the Department of Facetiousness there. Listen, Yasmin Le Bon, you're about to attend an unveiling of Yasmin Le Bon bust. Is this correct?
An unveiling of a Yasmin Le Bon sculpture by Yasmin Le Bon herself. I have to say, I've never previously seen her, but this will be made up in an hour and a half when I go to St. James's. It's being, apparently, it's been sculpted by Jonathan Wilder, and that should be, I think, rather fun, because, after all, she's pretty high profile, and when it comes to celebrities, it's always entertaining to see who's there.
Okay.
I mean, as an editor of the International Who's Who, I used to go to quite a lot of premieres and parties and so forth. The most memorable, and I'm broadcasting, by the way, from the Naval Military Club in St. James's. It moved there from Piccadilly, and whilst it was in Piccadilly, it featured the place for the premiere of the post-premiere party of Four Weddings and a Funeral, where Elizabeth Hurley wore that fabulous Versace dress.
It was something I was very tempted to suggest we actually used for the calendar shoot, in fact, but we couldn't find the staples, or the safety pins, in fact, that were actually holding that dress together.
Well, the thing was to be on the right side of her, so to speak.
Steady on, Richard.
Well, that was the...
as if there's a wrong side to be on with respect to Liz Hurley, bless her. You know, that's the key thing.
So, well, the key thing was Richard Young, the paparazzi. He was there... And that was one of the photographs of the year. It was extraordinary. And yet when I saw Elizabeth Hurley at that party, I, of course, admired, but didn't know who she was. I did know, of course, who Grant was, because the film had been such a success.
Yeah, it really put her on the map in an incredible way, didn't it? I mean, what a great opportunity for her.
Mm. Said with a touch of bitterness, may I say there, Joy? I mean, just because Hugh turned down your approaches all those years ago. Anyway.
I'm sorry to hear that there's bitterness.
I know, exactly.
You've
got to let it go. You've got to let it go. That's the key. Much as Simon Le Bon has actually done, that's the key thing.
And much as next April, all bitterness will be banished. You see, that's the effect of the wedding.
Exactly.
Will gradually... sweep away these negative thoughts and negative feelings.
Can I ask you, Richard, do you think there'll be the patter of tiny feet, you know, shortly after the wedding? I mean, do you think they'll...
9 months
not that shortly, yes, of course, 9 months at least. But, I mean, do you think they'll be planning a family fairly soon?
Yes, I think they've made that clear in the interview. I absolutely do. And I would be interested to know whether if, for example, primogeniture, the favouring of a male over a female, if the order they're born in happens to favour the female, and then there's subsequently a boy, and because of the history, the boy is crowned, not the girl. I mean, this could by then be abolished. It's certainly probable the government's looking at this. Obviously, there are more urgent matters. There's the other matter which is discriminatory, and that is this business, of course, that whereas you heir to the throne or someone in line to the throne could marry a Muslim, Jew or Sikh, they couldn't marry a Catholic because of various acts in the past and because of some of our history. Now, the problem with removing that, and obviously it's got to be tackled and it's got to be altered, but it's the monarch's role as supreme governor of the Church of England that whatever state you might think the Church of England is in, and that's another topic, and I better not get into that. The facts are there are these two issues, the primogeniture issue, which favours the male unjustly, and this religious matter that will be addressed at some point. But there are tricky constitutional matters. Mm. It's always tricky with some royal matters. For example, look at the Prince of Wales, that NBC broadcast, when he mentioned that he thought Camilla might be queen.
Oh, dear. I tell you, let's motor on, because there's another little item which ties in with the celebrity who's who, which is of personal interest to myself. I just think it's quite fascinating, as somebody who actually shares his birthday with the creator of Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, Michael Schumacher, Victoria Principal, and indeed the joys of Mel Gibson or otherwise, etc. Indeed, Marion Davies, of course, there. And as I found, another person who's also born on the 3rd of January is none other than Natalie Smith. Stan, yeah. Yes.
They say, like cosmic twins, Natalie. Yeah, cool.
Astounding, really, from that point of view, because I just think with respect to dates, etc., when you're putting in the who's who combination, what is the criteria that you actually look for in terms of you know, I'm looking at some of the other January the 3rd people we've got here, and I'm sure they've never been who's who, but they've made it to various other things. James Carter, the American jazz musician. We have Jesse White, an American actor, 1917, etc. Is there a criterion, or do you not actually deal with matters astrological as well as astronomical?
Well, good heavens, if you did it add matters astronomical, just think what you could conceivably come up with if you consulted the astrologers. To look, I'm not one of Macbeth's witches, you know, they could, according to Shakespeare, look into the seeds of time and see which grains would grow and which would not. Whereas for international who's who, and the British who's who too, of course, in its different ways, a very large percentage of the entries would have to be included because of the most, well, pretty ruthlessly applied criteria: presidents, prime ministers, various ambassadors to and from important countries, and Roman representatives to United Nations, top clerical, legal, trades union leaders, this sort of thing, the more obvious. The problem was, and this is where we could argue, the subjective. How did you favour X over Y? At what stage has so-and-so's career shown that they've got staying power? The British who's who, you can't cut anyone out, and that is their excuse, by the way, to keep people out who should be in. They put most people who should be in, but only now in the online who's who can you actually check the date they went in, and you would be deeply shocked to hear that Muhammad Ali has only recently gone in, or that Mel Gibson
has
only recently
gone in. This is exactly, I mean, both Capricorns. I mean, you have the Capricorn, David Bowie, Elvis Presley. I mean, bottom line, Natalie, we have such a responsibility to run this planet, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elvis never made Who's Who, and a lot of Americans do. It's true. There was a certain prejudice in the British Who's Who against what I would call popular feel. I was as populist an editor as I could be, so of course, the Gallaghers, Damon Albarn, Jarvis Cocker, or the supermodels, or the whole variety of individuals who represented film, represented theatre, represented popular music and contemporary arts and culture and so forth. Of course, they went in. And the Damien Hirsts and the Tracy Emins and so on. It was never a question, as in Naomi Campbell or Russell Crowe, neither of whom are in the British Who's Who. It was never a question of whether you liked an individual or not. That couldn't possibly enter into it.
You can't have that level of subjectivity into what is essentially an objective publication.
Mm. You most certainly should not. If you do, it is absolutely scandalous, and it's irresponsible, because you're not including them for purposes of yourself, your own views. You have to stick to facts, and you're including them purely and simply for what they have achieved. Inclusion must be on merit. I used to cut people out, but then the decision there was simply if you didn't know their names. And retired businessmen, politicians and diplomats who did not, into figures who were prime ministers or figures who were well-known or academics or publishing or actors, of course, who never retire. The point was simply to cut people who unquestionably had retired, if for any reason somebody did something and say you make. I remember cutting Canadian Minister of Fisheries who became governor.
Oh, it's quite all right to cut the Canadians, don't worry about that, he says.
I broadcast on Canadian television, and I couldn't possibly agree with you having covered the Queen's recent
of course.
Canada as Queen of Canada, but I would, however, admit that I did make this one mistake. A Minister of Fisheries in the Canadian cabinet was retired, I thought, and was removed. When he became Governor General, I simply brought the entry back to the book. But it did mean that every year you put in some 700 to 1,000 new names, but you also cut out a very large number, so you have the space whose print gets smaller.
It's referred to as a cull, I believe. You know, a healthy cull. You know, just
a healthy cull.
Exactly. A bit of pruning the roses, perhaps. Pruning the roses.
And also, so long as you do it reasonably responsibly. I mean, within your soul, you might be pleased to cut X or Y out, but it doesn't work like that, simply because if someone is notorious, the O.J. Simpsons or Colonel Oliver North of this world or whatever, you leave them in because they might be looked up. You cut out not those who become
Because you never know when you might want to feature either Oliver North or O.J. Simpson on the Midweek Drive. Unlikely in both instances, it has to be said. Never mind. Natalie,
very
any questions?
Yeah,
any questions for yourself?
I was thinking, do you ever feel a bit like there's... has there ever been one person you've really wanted to put in there and you haven't been able to? Or is that a bit confidential?
It wouldn't have been that confidential, but I will hint that looking back to the 1998 period, allowing for the fact that our editorial deliberations were confidential, I will concede that I would, if it had been up to me, put the... Because, I mean, they'd broken every record. Intention was to represent popular culture, and my feeling was all the Spice Girls, and not just the two we put in, ought to have been in the international Who's Who, but you cannot get your way perhaps the entire time. That just strikes me as one pretty rare argument, because normally the person would have been established. I put in Ben Kingsley when I saw Gandhi, because you could just see the stature of the man when you saw that one performance, or indeed Steven Soderbergh with Sex Lies videotape. A film as remarkable as that, I didn't feel it was possible that he, although some of his films haven't been to that standard, putting it mildly recently, he has nonetheless lasted. It would be very unusual if someone didn't last. It could cut them out, of course, then that was your fallback. The whole point is not to wait simply by saying, oh, well, they must wait until they've got staying power. That being an excuse to say, keep Morgan Freeman out until this year's Who's Who. That's ridiculous.
And just out of interest, I just hazard a guess here as to the two Spice Girls who actually made it into Who's Who. Jerry Halliwell and Mel B, possibly?
Jerry Halliwell and Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham.
Yeah.
OK, any girls allowed make it as yet, or shall we not even ask? Perhaps not.
Well, I suspect the problem was that there's a certain fear of whole girl bands, bands. Well, there should be, because you don't want to include people who are too peripheral. But equally, the serious point for the Spice Girls at that time anyway was that they'd broken all the records. They showed, or had staying power for some time, and the publicity that surrounded them was absolutely enormous. It was the supermodels. I'd waited some 4 years before I included them in 1993. And in the case of the British Who's Who, to give you an idea how backward that is in these sort of fields, Kate Moss made it, I think, was the year before last, and Naomi Campbell hasn't. So that was the difference between the two.
You see, Richard, I always thought Who's Who was really about the London gentry and people with titles. Am I totally out of date?
Please. It's the 21st century, Joy.
It's a different book. Debrett would be.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of?
Debrett's Peerage.
Debrett, you are thinking of Burke's Landed Gentry.
I'm getting my...
Joy, sometimes we're just so shocked at the provincial qualities. I mean, here we are trying to sort of deal with our chaps and the St. James's sort of clubs here. Honestly. She's from the north, Richard. It doesn't matter.
Well, you see, I believe what she needs is an induction at Hogwarts School
of
Witchcraft.
Precisely. I've said that for...
Yes, that sounds exactly. My street.
We don't have the most recent Harry Potter open, and I've been interested to see that the Deathly Hallows, and I loved all the previous ones. I thought that they were, one reason and another, I mean, you weren't looking for perfection on screen. You were looking for an eccentricity and a sort of magic and a certain oddity, and I thought there was a charm to the three principles. Here, we don't actually see Hogwarts, and my goodness, I did miss it so, because although the trilogy of Harry, Hermione, and Ron, and the particular actors involved do very well, the movie is so obviously padded out, because it's been decided that since The Deathly Hallows is the last, well, you can divide it into two for the reasons of finance. Anything to do with Harry Potter is enormous megabucks. It's made more, would you believe, than James Bond and though not adjusted for inflation, Star Wars, and it is, I want to say this is enjoyable, but I missed Hogwarts, and you could see it being padded up for financial reasons. It was rather sad because it was overlong from that point of view and very oddly cut.
We'll have to leave it there, Richard. We haven't even had a chance to talk about the Painter Stainer's Prize, but we will come back to that in full force. Natalie, would you like to ask Richard Williams... Actually, before we ask those last two questions, just remind us, which club are you talking to us from, Richard?
I am talking to you from the Historic Naval and Military Club. It's the 19th century it was formed, which is in St. James's. My father was a member, and I became a member subsequently. And it's... There's a little appendage for where you can do business. It's very practical in that regard. So you can use your mobile...
I was going to say, it sounds like a possible location report. Do they still allow women in, or are women banned at the gate?
Oh, goodness me, this goes back not centuries. I mean, I have to say, you were critical yourself of... a very dear colleague a few moments ago for being way out of date.
There you go. suffice it to say, I'm delighted that we managed to at least get the right day and things were sorted out for that part of you. Natalie, questions, last two questions from yourself, please.
Have you had an interesting chat with us today?
I most certainly have, and I hope next time we might be able to talk. We're talking about Harry Potter and various series, a series that has ended. The girl who picked the hornet's nest, I shall miss it. I don't know whether any of you followed the adaptations of Steve Larsen's novels, but it's been very, very interesting also, the way that very unusual atmospheric, and with Naomi Solace as... Rapace as Lisa Salander, very, very unusual threesome, those movies. That just opened in London, so I just thought I'd give a mention to it because listeners might well find it interesting. But one of the joys, you know, talking like this, and there's Painter Stainer's Prize, which is demanded its second week, and also, you know, we've had a right royal announcement. It is fascinating to be able to go and see so many interesting things and have such a wonderful cultural variety.
Absolutely, which I think almost answers the second question, but it is, Natalie.
Will you be joining us again? I'm sorry.
I do hope so. I mean, I have to be asked. Many are called, but you are chosen.
It's 168 hours from now, just to actually plan the whole, which is 7 days. So we'll pick up on December the 1st as the other calls come in.
December the 1st, that's excellent. That's a Wednesday.
Exactly.
It's the same time and perhaps same place or
I think so. A few more change routines. We'll actually have one of our celebrity legal people in the studio as well will be joining us for the first time, Claire Parker.
Claire Parker, a celebrity... How many celebrity legal people are
well,
there?
Well, yeah, exactly. There are heaps of them.
They're the new celebrity chefs, aren't they?
It's a whole range of things. Richard Fitzwilliams, film critic, general, commentator extraordinaire, a royal commentator and indeed former editor of International Who's Who. We salute you.
And I look forward to appearing in a week's time. 168 hours. I'm sure your mathematics are better than mine. That I never passed. I couldn't. Science and mathematics. I couldn't do it.
Bye, Richard.
Bye. Bye-bye.